We'll only learn in Mesillas Yesharim, but Esrei Hakdama won't be some Bachanika, which has to do with the Mesillas Yesharim we learned. It has to do with the Inyanim of Chanukah that I was, this year we spoke about the Drosha, and I spoke about the Chanukah party, and I spoke about it Friday night, at the Onik Shabbos a little bit, a little different protein, but this one I didn't mention in any of the places. And it has to do with the Mesillas Yesharim we learned. Mesillas Yesharim says that one of the ways of getting Zrizus is by going through the motions, because physical things generate spiritual things. And even though we believe that hishtadlus in everything is only a condition, but lamaisa, fulfilling that condition generates a lot of spiritual things. Not only gets you in the mood of things, but it generates those spiritual. If you want to do spiritual things in the world, you have to do your physical hishtadlus. And the physical hishtadlus sets the stage for the spiritual things to happen. I want to explain a medrash that we've explained differently, a few different ways over the years, with a little bit new understanding. The medrash says like this: Hadudoyim nosnu reyach, v'al pshachenu kol megodim. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The medrash says on that: Hadudoyim nosnu reyach, ze Ruvein shehitzilus Yosef, v'al pshachenu kol megodim ze ner Chanukah. The dudoyim gave out a nice aroma that refers to Ruvein who saved Yosef, and al pshachenu kol megodim. And on our doorstep are all the dainty things that refers to Ner Chanukah. So it's a few questions. First of all, I understand that Dudoyim refers to Reuven, because Reuven was the one who brought the Dudoyim. I think they translated mandrakes to his mother, and what mandrakes are. Right? I remember in the comics, Mandrake was a big dog. No?
Mandrake the magician.
Oh, Mandrake. There's also Mandrake was one of these gigantic dogs that, one of the things. Okay, in any case.
What? It was Marmaduke.
Marmaduke, right. I stand corrected. Right. What were you doing reading these comics? At least I read them and didn't read them right. You read them right. Marmaduke, you're right. Bacchus, I like that. Okay, in any case. So, they're mandrakes. He brought the Dudoyim to his mother. We'll discuss in a few seconds what exactly they were. And so it should have said, HaDudoyim nosnu reyach, that's Reuven who brought the Dudoyim to his mother. What does it have to do with him saving Yosef? Why is Dudoyim nosnu reyach have to do with Reuven saving Yosef? And secondly, what does all of that have to do with Chanukah? What in the world does Reuven bringing the Dudoyim or saving Yosef have to do with Chanukah? So I'll explain the following. Why did Reuven bring the Dudoyim to his mother? Leah had had 6 children, yeah, and she stopped having children. And she wanted more children. 5 children. Yeah?
4. It's before you suffer.
4 children? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, yeah, 4 children. Reuven Levi had 4 children, and she stopped having children. She gave, right, she gave her Zilpah to, what's it called, to Yaakov, and she had 2 more children from her, and then she had Taka more children herself. Okay. So his mother wanted more children, and these mandrakes, literally they're called mandrakes because they look like a little human being. There's something I think called ginseng. There's a Chinese thing that also looks like a little human being, and it's supposed to be very, very therapeutic. But these were a fertility drug. They helped a woman get pregnant. That was this mandrakes.
How did the woman know about this?
What?
How did he find out that this is true?
No, they knew there was a Masorah. They knew all these plants and herbs or whatever, right? So he brought his clothes into the Chinese laundry. The people there told him. That's just a hashara. Reuven found these things, this drug, and he decided that he wants to bring it to his mother to help her get pregnant. What happened with that? That's not what happened. Leah didn't get pregnant because of this, because Leah never got to use the Dudayim, because Rachel saw the Dudayim, and she asked Leah to give it to her. And she, what's it called? No, Leah gave it to Rachel in place of her living with Yaakov, in place of Rachel. It was Rachel's turn to live with Yaakov, and Rachel gave up her turn for the mandrakes to, what's it called, she gave up Yaakov, and Leah lived with him, and she took ahead, then you saw her. So the truth is that Reuven's hishtadlus, he made a hishtadlus, right, a gashmistic hishtadlus, to help his mother get pregnant, this drug. But in the end, that wasn't the cause at all, because she never got the drug. But indirectly, she had another child because she had that extra time with Yaakov, and she had Yisachar because of that. So what did Reuven learn from that? He learned that you have to do your hishtadlus. And even though in the end it's not going to work out from what you did, the Rabbanus will make it work out. And it'll happen in a way that maybe you have nothing to do with it, but you have fulfilled your condition. If you're the cause and it doesn't work out, if the Reuven's bringing the Dudoyim would have been the cause why his mother would become pregnant, right, because she had this drug, then if it went to Rachel, obviously it's not going to work. But if the reason is you have to do your hishtadlus, and if you fulfill your condition, God will make it work out, then you don't need the Dudoyim anymore. You did what was natural, even though it didn't happen because of that, the Rabbanus made it work out. That's what he learned from that. That's Shahu Dudoyim Nosnu Reyach. From there, Reuven got an aroma, right, from this mice of Dudoyim that taught him a lesson. That you do what you have to do, even if it doesn't seem like it's going to be able to cause the result, but you just have to do. You have to do what you can do, and the Rabbanus will make it work out. Because he learned from the Dudoyim that even if you do what seems to be something that will be effective, even if it won't work out, the Rabbanus will make it work out a different way. So therefore, when all the brothers thought that they should kill Yosef, and Reuven was outnumbered, and he didn't have the ability to say, let's take him home, because the brothers wouldn't have allowed it. So the only thing he could do is have him thrown into a pit and hope to come back later and get him out. That was his plan. It made somewhat of sense, but in the end, it wasn't any kind of Hatzalah. Because the boar that he chose to throw him in was one with Nechashim and Akrevim, which was even more dangerous to him than what's it called, than them killing him, perhaps, because they could have changed their mind, but Nechashim and Akrevim, pretty much, B'derech HaTeva, deadly. And in the end, he didn't really save him, because he didn't get back in time and they sold him. So, but because of that, good things happened to Yosef in the end. So Reuven wouldn't have even tried had it not been for the mice of the Dudoyim. He would have said, you know what, the odds are against me. I can't really save him and cause any kind of saving because of the circumstances, so why bother? But he learned from the Dudoyim that if you do your hishtadlus, it'll work out some way. The Rabbanus will make it work out. You don't have to worry about causing it. You just have to worry about doing what you have to do. So he did what he could do, the minimum. Let's throw him into a boar, and at least there's some kind of svara that could work in the end. And in the end, Taka, it worked. The Rabban Shalom had his plan, and Yosef Lamaisa was saved in a way that saved them all. So that's HaDudoyim Nosnu Reyach. The Dudoyim gave out an aroma and taught Reuven, you do what you can do. Even if it doesn't seem like it's going to work, and the odds are against you, right? You do, because in the end, you're not the one who causes anyway. It's the Rabbanu Shalom. That's Ner Chanukah. If the Chashmonoim would not have learned this lesson, then they would have done nothing. There was no tachlis of going into a war, right, with the way it says in the Medrashim, 12 people against thousands and thousands and thousands. And even if they had some other people join them, it was an impossible situation. Right, so what would they gain? So if they had thought, according to Derech HaTeva, it's futile. It's a lost cause. So why bother? We'll just go hide in a cave somewhere and keep our mitzvahs as much as we can, and that's it. And eventually we'll die al Kiddush Hashem. But they learned from Reuven that you don't have to make the result. The Rabbanus will make the result. You have to do your part, even if it seems futile. So they did. And in the end, Taka, the Rabbanus made it work out. The same thing, the Hadlokas Neiros. They ask, how come Chanukah is 8 days? You shouldn't have an eighth day. Because the first day was anyway what should start from the second day. First day was no nace. But according to this, you know why there was a nace 7 days? Because the first day they lit the candles and did their hishtadlus. Had they said, look, we can't do anything, there's no oil, so just forget it, and hopefully the Rabbanu Shlomo will make a nace, it wouldn't have happened. Nisim don't just happen. They have to happen with some hishtadlus. So it doesn't make sense to write one day and think it's going to last for 8 days. We need 8 days. But Lamaisa, they did what they could do. And if you do what you can do, the Rabbanu Shlomo will make the rest work out. So they did their hishtadlus, and even their hishtadlus, Lagabi, the other 7 days, was futile. But the Rabbanu Shlomo then made it work out for the other 7 days too. Had they not lit that first day, there never would have been an nace for the other 7 days. So therefore, as much as the 7 days deserve a yontif, the first day also, because the first day caused the other 7 days to be a nace. It was their hishtadlus that enabled the nace to happen, because without their hishtadlus, the nace wouldn't have happened. So therefore, they included the first day as part of the nace, since that was the source, the foundation of why that nace was able to happen.
That explains by Reuven and by the Shemen. But as far as the Muhammad, because those two things, that there wasn't really too much of a choice, so you do whatever you can, and that's what you do. But by Muhammad, there was another choice of not fighting. And by fighting, even though you might want to, you have to do your stylus, you don't do something that's stupid. It's like the suicide.
If they didn't fight, the Greeks would have been mevatel the mitzvahs from them, or killed them. So they died anyway, right? There was a shas hashmad. They wouldn't have given in. They would have died. So they would have died without putting up a fight. So at least put up a fight. They're not going to lose anything by putting up a fight, right? Except that if it's futile, then why bother? Let's just die al kiddush Hashem and finish. But they said, they learned from Reuven, that you do what you have to do. Right? Even if it seems futile, do it. You're not losing anything by it. You may not gain anything by it. But the Maaseh, if you do your hishtadlus, then the Rabbanus will make it work out. Right? The hishtadlus that's negative is where you're going to lose something from it. Where it's a negative thing. Where if you wouldn't do anything, you'd be better off. But here, not doing anything wouldn't have made them any better off. Okay, so that is, and that fits in with the Mesillas Yesharim also. Okay, so now we'll start Perek Ches.
How come Reuven cried into his clothes when he saw?
How come he what?
Cried into his clothes when he saw that Yosef wasn't there. You should assume that the percentage that Hashem said didn't look like. He's not there.
No, he realized that something happened to him, that when he was gone, the brothers did something. And somebody told him what they did.
Right, no, what I'm saying is he shouldn't have been worried, though, because we're saying it's this thing that he should
have. Oh, you mean he shouldn't have been worried?
Right.
No, he thought that, what's it called? He did his ishtadlis, right? At least he saved him from death. But what's going to be happening now? Now they told him they sold him as a slave. And he had nothing to do with saving
before,
him from death.
Before they told him that he sold a slave, that's right.
Right.
Why was it better for the Maccabim to go into a situation if there were only 12 of them and they're going into this Muhammad against thousands of people? That looks like it's a very impossible situation. Why is that better than doing nothing and hiding in a cave and keeping what mitzvahs they could, and they would have lived for however long?
Yeah, because the Greeks were out to get them. Eventually they would have found them, like hiding from the Nazis. Eventually they would get them. Then they would have an Nisayan of giving in and doing the Averas, maybe being tortured or being killed anyway, Al Kiddush Hashem. So here, even though it was futile, right, but it wasn't going to hurt them any more than what they would have had before. It was just delaying it. Eventually the Greeks would have found them, like they did by everything. They were searching. There's Meisim with the people in a cave, and they didn't want to fight on Shabbos, and they burnt, they killed them all out. It was systematic, that the Greeks were, any band of Jews that went into the mountains, into the desert, to hide, to keep mitzvahs, they were going to eradicate them.
That has nothing passive to do. It's being active. I'm running away to do this and I'm being active. That also.
That's not a hishtadlus to say. It was a matter of just biding time. Here they were doing something to correct the situation, even though it was a futile thing. There, nothing would correct the situation. They just were delaying the inevitable results. That's hishtadlus for their own personal safety. But it wasn't hishtadlus to change the matzav. They wanted to change the matzav.
But wasn't it during? I think I read that someone's doing someone's a shliach mitzvah. then no harm comes to him. So you're right, supposed to
show the same place where the Gemara says that in Psachim. The Gemara brings a lot of cases where people were afraid that something would happen to them when they did a mitzvah, and they had to do things to prevent it. So Gemara says, "B'makom de shchiya chezeka," where it is usual to be harmed, right, by the thing that's harming you, we don't say shulchei mitzvah nizakin. Shulchei mitzvah nizakin doesn't create miracles. It means that you won't be harmed with something that's unusual. But a usual hezek will happen even to somebody doing a mitzvah.
So if that's the case, why would it be...
Well, if there's a bunch of Greeks who want to kill Jews and are looking around to kill people who keep mitzvahs, then under those circumstances, that's a usual hezek.
So then why would it be even worse for Yosef to be thrown into a pit? Since a pit is, it was unusual for something to attack...
No, what's it called? Why shluchei mitzvah? Why? Well, no, again, why? Why was Yosef bichlal harm? Because if you let yourself be vulnerable to a bunch of brothers who want to kill you, that's usual damage. That's not something unusual, right? He just didn't think that they were really that angry with him, which he made a big mistake. Okay.
Yeah, Rob made a parallelism between what the Hashmonaim did. And
what Reuven did.
No.
Oh, yeah, and
the Jews during the Shoah?
To a certain degree, there were Jews that Taka resisted. Right? That joined the partisans and fought the Nazis. And with primitive weapons, and and they also, Baruch Hashem, were successful to a certain degree. And the mice in the end, they could be because of them that everybody was successful and the other armies won.
Those who ran away and also were successful.
Right, yeah. What's it called? There, it could be that the ones who ran away thought that they would be saved. And it wasn't a question of, you know, there were but Derech HaTeva, there are people who escaped. When it was a futile thing to escape, then what people did, I don't know what they did, and some people, Taka, resisted. Right? But where it was Taka, 100%, futile to run away or to do anything, then they went al kiddush Hashem b'gvura. That's also resisting ruchnius wise, not gashmius wise. But if you can try to stop the gzera, you can do something, right? You can take a few Greeks with you, then maybe it's good to do that too. If anyway they're going to kill you. Now each situation is different than what is the hishtadlis for that situation is different. But in this situation, that's what they had. Maybe the ishtadlis, that's what you asked, maybe the ishtadlis would be run away, right? Mira. That's maybe the ishtadlis to run away. But in that situation, that wouldn't have helped. The better ishtadlis was, you know, take a few Greeks with you. But by the Nazis, it could be that there was a decent ishtadlis of you could escape. And if you could escape, then try to escape. The Rambam says, if somebody is threatened with Misa, you know, what's it called, Al Kiddush Hashem, and he could run away. Or he could kill the guy who's threatening him. And he doesn't, and he says, you know what, I want to go on Kiddush Hashem or whatever, he's committing suicide and he's a fool. So sometimes the Hishtadlis is run away. Okay. Bederech Knias Hazrizus. Hineho Emtsoim Asher Nikna Bom Hazrizus. Heim osam asher nikna bam hazihirus. Just like we learned before, there are three ways to get zihirus. So the same three ways of get zihirus. Why? Madrigoseim kumadrigoseim. And we said that those three ways depend on what kind of person you are. For great people, there's one way. For medium people, a second way. And for regular people like us, a third way. Shekosafti l'malak in yonim karav zelazeh, because zehirus and zrizus are very, very similar. The ain hefresh b'neiim elishezeh be'esim v'zeh v'lavin. One is in positive things to be a zoris, and one's in negative things to be a zohir. But basically, it's the same. It's the same mida. Basically, the same mida, except one's in the positive, one's in the negative, and therefore, the same way that you'll get to this one, you'll get to this one. And what is the ways to get it? So he says that for the great people, it's to, what's it called, to realize that they want to be careful with what they do because they want to get shleimus. Yes, yeah, that it? No. That's the reason. Second. For the people on the high madrega.
You won't reach shleimus.
Shleimi hadas, raka shleimus, right? Shleimus. That they will be zehirim because they don't want to lose their shleimus. They don't want to lose perfection. So same thing. A great person will be a zoris to do the things that are kona shleimus, the positive things, because he doesn't want to lose that shleimus. Just like he'll be careful not to do negative things that'll lose him his shleimus. Then he says the people less than that, right? That they'll want to get the covet of olam haba. Or what's it called, and all the benefits of this world and the next world, and if they're not Zahir, they'll lose those benefits. And Mashain Kain, what's it called, but Zrizah is the same thing. If they're not Zrizah, they'll lose those benefits also. And for the Hamonam, he says, is the idea of Schar and Onish. They're afraid of punishment and reward. And same thing over here. If you're not a Zohir, you'll miss out on reward and get punished. And if you're not a Zohir, you'll miss out on reward and get punished. So those three things, Bi'ikaron, can be an incentive both for Zahirus and for Zrizus. The Kasher Yis'ameitz Eitzel Ha'adam, Godel Erech HaMitzvus, Verov Chazolhem, it also necessitates knowing how great mitzvahs are. You can't be a zoris to do something they don't really appreciate as important. But if you realize how important the mitzvahs are, whether they're important because they'll bring you perfection, or because they'll bring you to all of the milas that you really feel are important and necessary, or because they'll save you from punishment and get you reward, whatever the incentive is, you have to realize that these are the things that are going to get you what you want. And if you don't appreciate that, then it's... Somebody asked me recently, they want to... they don't really appreciate... I don't remember what it was. They do some Aveira, and... not somebody from here, somebody on the email. And they wanted to know if I have any advice for them, how they can control what they're... So the first thing is to learn about what it is you want to stop doing, and why, first of all, why it's wrong. How wrong is it? Learn the Chazal so you get intellectual, at least you understand what we're talking about, what it is, what's wrong about it, what kind of schar will you get if you don't do it, what kind of onish will you get if you do it. Not only the schar and the onish, but why is the thing important? Learn the hashkafa about it or whatever. And you can't really do anything to stop doing something or start doing something that you should be doing or stop doing something you shouldn't be doing unless you appreciate how serious it is and how important it is. Because if you don't consider it serious and important, then you're not going to have the incentive to want to stop or want to push in the effort to do it, if it's something good. So that's the first level. First level is, Yis'amis Eitzel Ha'adam Godel Erech HaMitzvus V'Rov Chavasavu, how important the mitzvahs are, and then you can possibly use that as an incentive to be a Zoris. And also how responsible you are to it. It's not just a nice thing to do, but you're responsible to do it. And if you're not a Zoris and you miss out, it's not just that you miss something that you could have had, but never. You're going to be responsible, you're going to get punished for it. There's a negative side. It's not just you're missing out something positive. There's a negative side too. And in fact, there's a Sfarno who says this idea. If you want to really do something and get the incentive to do it, then you have to have three things. He says like this. It says the Sfarno's in Shmos and Bishalach. It says that after the Jews went out to look for man on Friday night, when God said there would be no man, but Jews are Jews, and you know, if God says there's not going to be any man, they want to see with themselves that there's no man. So they went. So the Rabban Shom says, Ad Mosai Me'antem Lishmar Mitzvosai, how long would you, all of you, speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, refuse to keep my mitzvahs? So the Sfarno says Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go out. He didn't refuse to keep the mitzvahs. He kept Shabbos. He didn't go out. It says even though he didn't go out, but he caused them to go out to look for man. Why had he caused them to look? So God said, because you only told them, don't go out on Friday night, there won't be any man, and you're not allowed to collect man. That was what he told them. Don't do it, you're not allowed to do it. Okay, there won't be any. He said, what's the natural reaction of people when you tell them there won't be any? I want to see for myself. Right? That's a pretty natural reaction for human beings, especially for Jews. Right? And you tell them, don't do it, their reaction is, you say no, I say yes. So I'm going to go out. So what should have Moshe Rabbeinu done, says the Sfarno? Not just tell them, don't do it, there won't be any. He should have told them, first of all, why not to do it? What malacha is it? What's wrong with going out and collecting man on Shabbos? Which of the Lama test malachas is it? Is it, maybe it's what's it called, ma'amir, or maybe it's kotzer, there's all different opinions. But first, go through the halachas with them. And learn it with them in depth. That they should appreciate what the halachic basis for all of this is. Not just don't do it. Why not to do it? It means what's the halachically, what's the details of what am I doing wrong? Why is this thing usher? What lav is it? Where does it say that? Go into the details. That's the first thing. Second thing. Then you should have told them the what's it called? The idea behind Shabbos altogether. Why it's important to keep Shabbos. What's Shabbos all about? What does Shabbos teach you? What's the hashkafa of Shabbos? And then you should have taught them the tremendous reward that somebody gets for keeping Shabbos and tremendous punishment for not keeping Shabbos. Three things. Halacha, in depth, hashkafa, and musar. If you would have approached it from those three things, you would have given them an intellectual understanding, right, and an in-depth halachic understanding, intellectual understanding, and emotional understanding, musar, reward and punishment, then who wouldn't keep Shabbos? But you just told them, don't do it, there won't be any. You tell somebody not to do something, the natural reaction is they want to see for themselves, and they rebel.
Right? Why is it considered necessarily a rebellion?
What?
If they didn't actually collect any money, there wasn't any money to collect.
Yeah, because they should have trusted Moshe Rabbeinu. If he said there wouldn't be any money, what do you have to go see? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, God said there won't be any money. What?
Maybe they wanted to go see this Peladika thing that, oh wow, tonight there's no money. It's like exciting to see if there isn't any.
Okay, if that was the motivation, perhaps. But they went because, the Rabbeinu Shem sense, they went because they didn't believe. They wanted to see for themselves. Right? Not that, oh, we believe this tremendously, but we want to see it also. Had that been the case, maybe it would be different. But that's not what the Rav Hashem knew why they went. And what was so terrible, they didn't get any money. They wouldn't, but they were willing to do it. So that in itself was already a zilzum on Shabbos. In other words, I'm ready to do the malacha, I'm ready to go to your cigarette and smoke, but I can't find any cigarettes. So even though you didn't smoke the cigarette, but you're already mazalzel in Shabbos. Because you were prepared to smoke a cigarette, and you only didn't stop. That's like, you know, niskaven lechol, what's it called, machshava raw, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't count it as if you did it, but it's certainly something wrong with it, right? I would have collected man had there been any, but there wasn't any. So, and Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, it's a lesson to all of us. They can't just tell kids or students, you can't teach in a school, don't do this. And obviously, there have to be some things that you can't, you know, explain everything, but you have to be ikaron, want to give a child a depth in what you're teaching him, and hashkafa, and musar, and when you put the whole thing together, you have a much better chance of the child accepting it than when it's just a matter of do this, don't do that, right? This is the way it is, and don't ask any questions. You're inviting rebellion. You're inviting people to say, who said? Right? People don't like to accept authority. If the authority shares with them the inyan, so it's not just you have to do it because I said. Now you understand what I understand, and you understand the depth of it. You understand the intellect of it. You understand the emotions of it. Then you have a much better chance. It's not guaranteed, but you have a much better chance of success like that. And if you only say don't do it, and this is the way it is, and don't question me, right? then you're inviting failure. It's a tremendous svarna. It's really a lesson what chinuch is. And unfortunately, in many places, they don't know the svarna for some reason, and they think chinuch is forcing people to do things that they don't want to do, right? Which is part of chinuch too. You can't always, you know, explain everything or whatever, and you have to get a child used to doing what's right. But that's like the last choice. The first choice is to get him to want to do it because he understands it and wants to do it. That's it's a tremendous, tremendous thing, and it's most people think that chinuch is dafka the other way, and don't let people ask questions, and don't have to explain anything to anybody, and just this is the way it is and finished. And you see what the results are from chinuch like that for most people. Okay, there are exceptions too. Some people accept that, but the majority of people don't go for that. And the Rabban Shalom obviously agrees that they shouldn't. Okay. Okay. So therefore, the first thing, if a person himself knows he's doing something wrong and he wants to improve, then learn those things. Appreciate what it is, the ideas, but what is the mitzvah? What is it? Why is this thing awesome? Where does it say it's awesome? Right? Because you can always fool yourself and say, well, it's not that awesome, and not really, this is not really the isser, but if you learn about it, right, you'll know that there's no excuses. And if you learn what the concept is, you'll appreciate it more. If you learn the musr and know what the reward and the punishment is, you'll be more prone to be afraid of doing something wrong, or more motivated to do what's right. So that's the, after that, you can find ways of trying to do what you want to do. But first you have to appreciate what it is before you can find ways to motivate yourself to do it. You have to have some reason to be motivated before you find ways of making that motivation. That's what he's saying. If you appreciate the importance of the mitzvahs, you appreciate how serious they are and what the consequences are, which is mamash all the things that we just said from the svarno, then vada yisorli, the svarno ends that thing, he says, mi lo yishmor shabbos, who wouldn't keep Shabbos if you know all those things, especially if you heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu. So who wouldn't vada yisorli bol avoda v'lo yisrapi mimenu. Okay, then he goes on and he says that there is one thing other than that a person can use to be ma'or himself, to want to be a zoris in avodas Hashem, to want to really be excited about serving the Rabbanu Shalom, and that is Hakoras HaTov, right? Recognizing all the good things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for him, and that's what we'll start with next week of Mitzvah.